Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:31 British Summer Time. Today is August 19th. Well, this has been really rather an interesting day, particularly from what's been happening in the energy complex. More on that in a moment, but let's first review what's been happening in the markets today. China broke through the 3,000 level on the Shanghai A shares, so this is really has been quite a swift decline, and if we're correct in the assumption that this is a pullback towards the or a reversion towards the 200-day moving average, then it will start to slow down in its decline relatively quickly, and we will have more two-way action, such as the type of bounce that we had yesterday, starting to creep in here. But across the rest of the world, The markets were relatively quiet in here today. Asia was relatively unchanged. India was closed off its lows, for example. And in Europe, the majority of markets were relatively unchanged. The FTSE was up 3, the CAC was down less than 1 point. In the US, we see the S&P closing up on the day just under 0.7%, and the NASDAQ was also somewhat firmer in here, and there was a generally positive tone across the Americas. In the government bond markets, the US Treasury closed up 21 points, but that was well off the highs as it encountered resistance in the area of the 121 region. And most government bond markets closed in positive territory, but that was still somewhat off their highs. And the industrial metal complex, copper is down 0.7 cents in here today, but that is well off the lows, over 10 cents off the lows, and copper is pushing back up into this little range that it was forming over the last couple of weeks. Nickel was in positive territory, as was zinc and pretty much all of the industrial metals. So and then in the energy complex, we see that oil was up $3 today in the region of 72.15 at the close. And that's really rather positive action as we see it going back up to test its highs. And it's been in this range for much of the last 2 months. So this is quite positive action. The silver market was down 14 cents, but that was almost 30 cents off its lows. The low was around 13.49 and closed at 13.81. So we're seeing that support was found across a range of commodity markets. The same can be said for the grain markets, with corn finding support above the $3 level and was up 5 in here today. Soybeans also found support and was closed up marginally on the day, but again that was considerably off its lows. Sugar was also considerably stronger in here today and pushing back up towards the highs posted in the last couple of weeks. White sugar has an equally impressive chart. And I was also looking at natural gas, where I initiated a long position in the August contract for a couple of reasons. First was that it was going back down to test the $3 level, found support there, and closed off its lows. And the other is that with oil pushing up towards its highs and natural gas touching its lows, the ratio between the two contracts is at an all-time peak. We've got 20 years of history for the oil contract, and it's never been at such a high. The two contracts have never been so far apart. So natural gas is cheap relative to oil, and while there are certainly issues about the storage facilities being full to the brim of the stuff, it is cheap down at these levels when compared to alternatives, and that should help to begin to stoke demand in the short to medium term, and the fact that the contract had been down 9 consecutive days and this was the first day it was up in 10 days, led me to think that there is a good chance we're going to see a bounce from here, in which case I will begin to leave it out. And if this strategy starts to work, I am considering beginning to baby step my way into natural gas. But I will see how things go with that. What we are seeing with stock markets is, for example, when we look at something like the Nasdaq, it's countermanded the drop that we saw on Monday, and it's pushing back up into the range. And for example, the Dow and the S&P, for example, the S&P is at 996, and it had encountered some resistance in the area of 1,000 and is still within sight of that figure. So we haven't seen any huge pullback, and certainly we're seeing backing and filling occurring. And to the casual eye, this looks like nothing more than another little range similar to what we saw between the end of the middle of June and the middle of July. Certainly not anything bigger than that type of reaction, and to date, considerably shorter in terms of duration. We have had a very big move to the upside, though, since the middle of July, and the markets are overextended in the short term, although obviously the fact that they've been pulling back over the last week is helping to unwind some of that overbought condition. But they do need to sustain moves to new high ground to reaffirm these uptrends that have been evident since March for lagging markets and since October for leading markets. And the environment is a bit more high risk than it was before we started to see these markets rolling over somewhat. I continue to believe that we are closer to the next more important pullback and consolidation or reversion towards the means than we are closer to the next big move to the upside. And particularly when we look at some of those leading Asian markets, they have been unable to sustain moves to new high ground in recent past. And we have seen that lagging markets have been outperforming in the last couple of weeks. And that is a signal in itself that if the leaders are beginning to lose their lead position in performance, that we are probably closer to the end of what has been a very impressive advance than we are to the beginning. But we haven't seen anything in the way of very large downward dynamics. We've had markets rolling over somewhat, and certainly we're getting backing and filling. And if we're correct in the assumption that this is a reversion towards the means, then backing and filling would be the order of the day, where the dominance of supply in the short term is not completely overarching. And that is certainly the case over the last couple of days. And that the ideal scenario would be that markets can range sideways in a rather tight formation and let the moving average catch up to them before they initiate the next big move to the upside. In the commodity sector, with oil up there at 72.21 and the high being in the region of the 73-74 area, and the fact that oil has had these higher lows over the last month suggests that demand has got the upper hand. And if we do start to see oil pushing upwards to new high ground, well, if it starts getting up above the sort of $80 level, people are going to start paying attention once more to the potential for the commodity complex to offer a headwind to stock markets. And certainly, if we start to see oil pushing up in a more consistent advance, that will start to get people worried about the threat of inflation rather than deflation. And people will start to well, inflation in the short term and deflation in the longer term, rather than what they're thinking about at present, which would be deflation in the short term and inflation over the long term due to the quantitative easing. If we do start to see oil pushing significantly ahead, and certainly it's been quite slow in its advance, although really quite consistent at the same time. If this were to begin to pick up pace, that could be a headwind for stock markets in however long that type of thing starts to take shape. I apologize, I'm not being very articulate, and that is certainly something that to watch out for. With gold currently around 942, a little bit firmer in here today, following on from yesterday's somewhat steadier tone, and with silver finding support in the 1350 level and platinum around the $1,200 level, we are starting to see that commodities generally found support in here, and certainly they're being led by the industrial metals and energy, and of course they have their industrial uses in tandem. And there is a growing acceptance that the global economy has bottomed, that this recession that has been gripped the minds of investors over the last year could well be ending, and people are starting to look around and think about what the world will be après le déluge. And certainly the commodity sector is leading, and from stock market performance, while we see that OECD countries are staging something of a catch up, although they still lag the leaders in this market, which are commodity producing Latin America and the growth markets of Asia. And it is to the growth markets of Asia and commodity producing countries, as well as the commodities themselves, that show the best leadership characteristics among asset classes, but they're also the best candidates to form asset bubbles over the next decade or so. And certainly, with the policies that are being put in place by central banks, not in one country, but in a wide number of countries, we are being set up for potential asset bubbles to form going forward, because we are not, because of the amount of liquidity that's being added into the markets, it doesn't all just get invested domestically. It gets put to use following the assets that have the best potential over the medium to longer term, and certainly that is looking to be the commodity complex and the population and growth centers of Asia. And when we look at the potential for asset bubbles to form, then they are unlikely to be in the assets where we've just seen burst bubbles. So that would be housing or consumer debt in the more or less English-speaking world. And we had a burst bubble in technology less than 10 years ago. While certainly there is potential for individual technology stocks to perform, and certainly the ones that are still around following the Nasdaq bust and are leading this market to the upside have a fundamental reason for being able to do so. But certainly the companies that are doing best are those that have a strong international franchise, and the technology shares that are leading in this type of environment certainly fulfill that that are fall into that category. Of course, there are a number of other shares that are performing in this environment, and many of them have that global franchise as a unifying characteristic. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.